Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, we're joined by award-winning transsexual porn star and producer Venus Lux. She's going to talk about her journey to being one of the top transsexual performers in the industry, talk about her sex life, what it's really like to work in porn. This is going to be a good one. And I'm here with Menace. Thanks for listening. Okay, people, the genius design team at WeVibe has done it again. The brand new Nova by WeVibe is quite simply a dual stimulation superstar. The Nova expertly pleasures your clitoris and G-spot at the same time without missing a beat. You might be thinking, that sounds a lot like my favorite rabbit vibe, but it's not. Unlike traditional rabbits that tend to lose contact when you slide the shaft outward, the Nova's external stimulator is extra long and curved, creating firm, flexible external pressure while you maneuver the G-spot stimulator however you like it. What this means is the external stimulator doesn't leave the clitoris, which is exactly what the majority of women need to achieve orgasm, extra clitoral stimulation. The Nova's easy-to-use controls let you cycle through its multiple vibration modes and even allows you to work the internal and external stimulation independently. And if that wasn't mind-blowing enough, you can even customize the Nova by connecting it to your smartphone via the WeConnect app. The Nova by WeVibe is so unique that you have to try it to believe it. So go to sexwithemily.com and look for the Nova banner. That's right. Go to sexwithemily.com, click on the Nova banner today, and you get a special discount.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
You know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
To Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. We can check out our podcast, subscribe to our podcast, because we do two a week, and they kill. And check out our new killer website, kill, kill, kill. Why am I saying kill? It's so aggressive. And yeah, we update it every day. We got videos. It's a good time. And we are coming at you live from Gibson's showroom in Beverly Hills, which is awesome. And I'm here with Menace.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What have you been doing?
I've been moving the last 2 days. I have. So Ken, my vice president, is in town from New Jersey for meetings. But mostly, I just got a new office.
Yeah.
And we are moving today, this week. And it's... So we were working. You never went to my last office, the studio.
No.
It's a studio. It was 300 square feet, and there were six of us. And it was, we love each other, thank God, but it was very tight. And so now it's 900 square feet. It's bigger.
Nice.
And we're
putting an apartment.
I know. It's bigger than my actually where I live. So I had to make a choice. Like I chose the business. I got a nicer office, and I'm still living in my house, but which is fine because we're fixing that up as well. So we're setting up a studio in the office. Mm-hmm. Which you're going to come help. And it's exciting. But also, so I live in my guest cottage where we had our drunk party, which was fun. But there's just little things in there that don't quite work for me. There's no closet space. It's small. So Ken, not only is he a great vice president in marketing in my company, but he used to be an architect. So all week long, we've been like IKEA. But I went for 4 hours on Saturday, and I had low blood sugar drop.
Uh-huh.
And I had to like hide out and like hide underneath the where all those, you know, when you first walk into all the boxes and stuff, I kind of had to hide from him just for a second and take a few deep breaths. And I was so hungry, I had to steal some Swedish fish from the bins, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like eating sweet, because like there was too long of a line. And
they sell hot dogs for like $1.50.
Yeah, but that line was too long and I was starving, but it was really fun. So I've actually been doing things that are transformative because I've been living in it's too crowded.
Yeah.
So now I feel like I'm letting go of a lot of stuff and moving on and growing, and it feels great.
Love it.
It's like going to feng shui my life. Okay, so that's what I'm doing. And I want to talk to you about the drunk show.
Yes.
I love doing that.
I'm sure you did.
There was no prep. We did a few shots and people love it. And I loved it.
I'm sure they did.
And you know I never listened to the show.
Uh-huh.
And not because I hate it, just because I don't know, it's weird. I don't have a ton of time. But I was like, this is funny. And I just, we were very open, raw. Uh-huh.
I think we could do that more often.
I think we can. We should just schedule it out because it only happened because I said, okay, well, just make a date and we'll do it.
It's all about planning.
See?
How come it's so hard?
Because every time we're like, oh, we should do that, we should do that. And then it never happens. And I've learned over the years trying to get more organized is like, all right, set a date, stick to it. That's it.
So let's set like tomorrow date. What are you doing tomorrow?
I can't do that schedule. I'm going to have to look to see when we're available to do
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, how are
But it was super fun.
It was fun. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I was in Las Vegas. I saw Rihanna, who just oozes sex.
I know.
She was amazing.
I feel like I should really go see her. Yeah. She's playing like for...
Yeah,
like
she is in Los Angeles, and then she's going to San Francisco. Oh. She's doing a world tour. So I suggest if you love pop music, Rihanna has a bunch of hits. Her show is amazing. She just does hit after hit.
Did it make you feel like sexy?
Did it make me feel sexy? It didn't make me feel sexy, but it was definitely a very sexy show.
I feel like I would dance and be sexy. And
she's definitely sexy because you know who keeps on trying to hang out with her is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh.
Like they keep on being spotted
together.
She's like,
sorry, I'm out.
No, I'm sure she's hanging out with him. But
she's
like,
blowjobs?
I think that she's your type of lady. It doesn't seem like she's... like getting locked down anytime soon.
Oh, so
she's
like
just
me.
Out there having fun.
Right. I am not getting locked down anytime any soon. Oh. But when I do, I'll let you know.
Okay. So another thing happened to me while I was in Vegas, and I know it's not a sexy thing, but people hit me up all the time because, you know, it's not a new thing to post food on the internet, but...
No, you were the first one.
But so I'm always in Las Vegas. I'm actually going to be in Vegas probably every other week for the next couple months, right? Just doing things, right? So every time I'm in Vegas or I'm going to Vegas, everyone asks me, Menace, where should I go eat? I need food suggestions, all this stuff, right?
Right. Okay.
I said, okay. So I figured out a way to make an Instagram account that's not going to take up a bunch of my time for food in Vegas. So I made an Instagram account that people can follow and just look at if they're interested, if they're going to Vegas. And they
like
want
cheeseburgers
to see
and buffets, right? What do you
No,
Vegas?
Buffets. I mean,
there are really nice restaurants.
Oh, my God.
Now.
There's like crazy five-star restaurants.
Right.
Like
back in the day, there wasn't. Like, there's like
No. This is like new.
So you eat well
top
there.
Of the line. Yeah.
I just think of you like that. I think of like all of your Instagram photos are like hot dogs and pizza and tacos.
Well,
so
then you're not looking at my Instagram.
Churros and churros. So now you have three Instagram accounts. Your dog, happy birthday,
my,
churro.
Yeah, my
what's
baby.
What's the Las Vegas
So this
account?
One is called Vegas Foodie Guy.
And so you couldn't have done another Menace or Churro. You need a third account.
A third account. Yeah, this one's just dedicated to food
Vegas
in Vegas.
Foodie Guy. That's kind. This is sort
so
of like
follow
benevolent.
It, please.
I will follow it right now. If I got distracted, though, then the whole show would go down the drain.
It's Vegas Foodie Guy.
That's exciting. God, you got some time on
your Instagram.
Hands.
I don't have time, but I figured out a way to do it where it doesn't take up my time.
Okay. That it's all about. That's what life is about, being efficient.
Yeah, I'm trying to be more efficient.
How's that going?
I've been working on it for a couple of years, and it's coming together. I was never a fan of the iWatch, but the iWatch has helped me so much on keeping track on everything because I can just immediately look at my wrist and say, oh, this is what I have going on today. This is what I have to do.
Oh, because your calendar.
In my calendar.
Will you show me that? Because I think I want one, too.
I think
it
you should do it.
But everyone's like, no, the Apple Watch, don't get the Apple. It's been very negative.
Dude, I was totally on board with the negative. I'm like, Apple Watch is such a waste of time and piece of shit. You should not buy it.
Right.
But then I was given one as a gift.
Right.
And then it has kept my calendar.
Will that person give me one as a gift?
I don't know. I can check.
I'm just curious.
But it's helped me. It's kept me so organized because like.
But you could look at your phone and look at your calendar all day long.
But how often do you go through?
All day long I look at my calendar on my phone.
You do?
Well, kind of. I mean, yeah.
Kind of. But you could probably miss something. You probably get distracted doing something.
Oh, yeah.
But here, you just look at your wrist and boom, it's right there. I don't know.
Cool. No, I'm glad
it's definitely helped me. Maybe it's not for everybody,
but. Well, you seem like, really, on top of the world.
Been helping me out a lot.
That's good. Well, it's good to see your face.
So that's all the non-sexy news that I've been having
that's
for
really,
you.
I just love seeing you. And
thank
that's
you.
Really
I love
news. You seem really happy.
I love seeing you too. But what is going on with your life? I know you've been single. I have people on Instagram wanting to date you. What's
really?
Going on?
Like who? Okay. Well, this is what you need to forward me. Who they are?
Okay.
Profiles. Are they real people? Like
they're real people.
They're like direct messaging you. I want to. Are they like?
They're like commenting on Instagram. Like hook me up with
like,
Emily.
Oh, let's have sex with Emily. But are they like? Is it my potential?
Oh, you want? Okay, so. Let's just lay it out, all right? If you are a gentleman that's, like, hitting up our Instagram accounts, just tell him what you want, Emily. Just lay it out. You want a guy. You're going to want to have discussions, right? You like guys that are writers and they're going to pay attention to you. I typically like writers,
yeah, and I'm going to pay attention to them and we're going to communicate and you're emotionally evolved. Like, you know what your issues are. You don't have to solve them because we never really solve our issues in life. You just learn how to deal with them. Uh-huh. But you know who you are. You're an adult. You are passionate about things. Hopefully you don't hate your family or your mother or anything. Mm-hmm. Guys who hate their mothers. Like, I mean, I understand some moms suck, but just that's just tough. And, you know, you're happy and you're, I mean, without, you know, yeah, you're a happy person. You're, it'd be nice. And I say, like, you have something in your life that you're passionate about. And hopefully, you know, you like your work.
Yeah.
You like your life. You're good friends. You're established. And that doesn't mean, like, money necessarily, but it'd be nice if you, like, you have a job.
Yeah.
And, you're fun and open and like sex.
And you happen to live in Los Angeles in a 5 mile radius.
1 mile radius.
1 mile.
Let's be honest. I don't drive that far. My office now, I can walk to my new office.
Oh, that's great.
Which we're talk a lot more about.
But so.
It's killer.
So that's what you're looking for.
Yeah. And actually, then, to be honest, I've been taking a it's interesting. It's like the longest I've.
Hiatus.
A hiatus from dating. And
I think it's good though because it's
super healthy. I've never gone this like.
I think it's good to take the hiatus, get organized in your life. Right. And
this is what I'm saying. I kind of coasted over the whole what it means to, like, I've been living in, because I've been so busy since I moved here for 3 years, but I've been living in places that aren't quite, like, our office is way too small. Like, Madison, like, they're all on top of you. They don't care. Like, they're, like, cool. They're working. But it's like, I want it in my home. You know, it's nice, but it's like things are falling off the ceiling. Yeah. And so I'm finally taking time to clear those roadblocks that are, like, emotionally have, like, take a toll, and then, like, everything new is coming in. It's transformational.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by that. And then, so now I'm ready to, I think dating's going to go along with that, and the men are just going to start falling through the roof.
Yeah, like crazy. But definitely I think that you have to get everything together in your own life before you could be happy in a relationship.
Yeah, it's
true.
There's
no way.
Yeah, right. And I think for a long time, I did put off that dating, and I was like, I got it. And then I feel like things really have come together in recent years. Mm-hmm. But now there's just like, and so then I had a relationship, ended that. And now in other ways, it's coming together. So yeah.
Cool.
Just evolving. So that's what I would like. And it's also masturbation month.
I know.
Which is a really big deal.
Oh, it's so funny.
I'm more excited for that than Christmas.
It was so funny in the office. Somebody was doing research. For the show that I work on,
the Woody Show
that you could listen to in Los Angeles on Alt-987. You can download it. It's not about sex. But somebody yelled out in the office, it's masturbation month. And I go, psh, I already know that. I already knew that. Where were you yesterday? You got to listen to the Sex Emily podcast.
They're like, you probably are their local sex expert at your show.
I mean, if there's any weird, awkward news about sex, I probably already heard it from you.
Right.
Or
but if someone calls in, I might have chlamydia. No, you don't really help with that. But if they're like, I can't.
No. But there's definitely things that you help me out with. Like when people call in and they have a relationship problem. Right. I definitely, you know,
I learned
a lot from this show and maybe how to approach it in a different way than I would before.
And I've learned a lot from you about how to talk directly into the mic.
Yeah, right.
You've taught me a ton.
That
and I appreciate
is not
you.
Happen.
But I am doing it. Okay, listen. Masturbation month. This is so how we were doing a contest.
Yeah.
Because we love contests and we love giving people sex toys and products. So it's about how you self-love. Everyone masturbates a little bit differently. So if you email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com, tell us, you know, your masturbation routine. What do you do? Light candles, you just flip on the porn, sit in your bathroom, lock the door. I don't know. What do you do? Touch your nipples first. I want specifics. Guys, what do you do? It ends May 25th, the contest, so send it in now. We'll choose our favorite submissions to win some pretty great Masturbation Month prizes. Mm-hmm. And
so how do you enter the contest? You go to sexwithemily.com?
We have information on there how to enter, but also just send us your, like, masturbate. What's your routine? How do you masturbate? Mm-hmm. And this month is important because we're like, Lavo, that's funny.
Yeah.
Is an everyday masturbation day? Well, yes, I hope. But this month is about learning your body more to explore, to, you know, increase your own knowledge about your body and then also enhance your own sex life.
Cool. Explain the whole routine because I listen to Howard Stern.
Okay.
Howard Stern is my all-time favorite radio show.
Mine too.
And he always breaks down, like, how he masturbates, like, how he grabs tissues and how he has the whole setup.
Right.
And how he has an iPad and what kind of porn, what type of porn. That's the descriptions that you're kind of looking for, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Do you watch porn? Or, like, do you make sure your door is locked? Mm-hmm. Do you watch porn? Do you whip out a toy?
Do you just think about past lovers?
Right. Women and men think of such, like, different things. Like, so what do you think about? like during sex? Like, you don't watch porn. So, like, for example, what do you think about?
You probably, what do I think about?
Yeah.
I'll just think of
burgers
and wieners.
Right. You could break down yours anonymously and email us.
Okay, I'll do that. Okay. It'll probably be the craziest one you have.
It will be crazy. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and be right back. By now, y'all know me pretty well. You know I love new experiences, but I have my favorite things that I always come back to because I know I can trust them. I can't think of a better example than the magic wand. If you've been listening, you might remember that I actually had a hole drilled in my nightstand, so my magic wand was always plugged in and ready right when I needed it. That's a pretty big commitment. And I thought it was pretty ingenious. But anyway, before you go destroying your furniture, consider this. The trusted magic wand is now available in a rechargeable version, delivering all that power of the original plus the mobility of a completely cordless design. The Magic Wand Rechargeable also features 4 intensity levels and 4 great vibration patterns. For more than 30 years, a trusted magic wand from Vibratex has been just about everyone's go-to massager, from its perfect size to the high-quality construction and materials. It's no wonder why the magic wand is considered the Cadillac of all vibrators. If you don't own one yet, don't live without the magic wand another day. And if you do own one, you need to try the rechargeable. Go to sexwithemily.com and click on the magic wand banner to order yours. All right. We have a great guest here today.
Okay.
And I want to tell you about it because I'm really interested in our guest because not only is she born and raised in San Francisco, and her story is really, really interesting. So her name is Venus Lux, and she is a top transsexual performers in the adult industry.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to being XBiz Awards Transsexual Performer of the Year in both 2014 and 15, she runs her own production company. She produces and directs movies. She's launched Trans Global Magazine. She's just done a lot for the transsexual men, women, and she's performer, and San Francisco is her hometown, and I've read a spot about it.
That's where we're from.
Exactly. But I just think it's really interesting. I have a lot that I want to talk to her about, but she's got a great story, and she's so driven, and like she's like 25 years old and beautiful and like taking over the world. So
cool. She's
here.
Hello.
Hello, Venus.
Hi,
how are you doing?
Venus. I just combined your name, Venus Lux.
Venus Lux.
How are you? It's so nice to meet you.
It's nice to be here. I'm a little nervous. So.
Oh, why?
Yeah. Oh, my
There's
God.
No need.
I'm intimidated by you, actually.
No.
What?
Because you're like an icon, and on top of that, like, you're so educated and you're a feminist. It's awesome. Love
oh my
to
God.
Respect
oh,
you.
What?
I was talking about how much I admired you.
Oh, awesome. To meet you.
That's really sweet. Thank
we
you.
We go Google at each other.
Right, exactly. We will do that.
Nice.
Do you admire Menace? Do you know Menace?
No, she hasn't.
You might by the end of the show.
No
or you might not. And it's cool. Wherever you go with that, that's cool.
Emily loves it when people love her, so.
No. Who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Well, I love you. No, I mean, I've heard of you, heard about you, but I really, you know, I get into my, you know, people coming on the show, and I was so. First of all, we have a lot in common, which you might not think.
Really?
Well, in a way, we both had our very formative years in San Francisco.
Oh, awesome!
Right,
are
and
you from
I know.
San Francisco?
Yeah, well, I lived there for 20 years. I'm from Michigan.
Okay,
but I was there for 20 years, and Menace was there for born there.
Born and raised about a half hour outside of San Francisco. I spent about 15 years living in San Francisco.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No, but I know that, so just reading about your history and reading about how you grew up in the Tenderloin District, mm-hmm. like in the 90s, right? Because you're 25 years. So I'm just thinking about, but I know that I was in the
Mission was awesome.
The Mission? Yeah. Yeah, the Mission was awesome.
Now it's so yuppified.
Oh, yeah.
So yuppified.
It's all
but tech. The Tenderloin
people.
Is the last place, and that was a tough neighborhood.
Yeah. The Loin, right next to Bill Graham.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bill Graham's still there, yeah.
Bill Graham, I'm sorry, I'm thinking Warfield.
No, that's in Fillmore.
Venice. And then,
oh, that's in Venice, right?
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
No,
I'm so
Market
tired
Street.
Right now. Yeah, Market Street.
Great American Music Hall.
It's one of
that's
those.
In
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
No, but I was thinking about it because, you know, your story where you grew up, and I was thinking about, like, transition. We're going to get into all that. Transitioning in San Francisco. I always thought because... So I moved there in the early 90s. I worked in politics. I worked for city councilwoman Carol Migdon, and she was a lesbian, like the first lesbian supervisor. And so we did a lot for transgender issues, and it was the first, in 1995 was the first time like they passed legislation there.
Yeah.
Like it was so groundbreaking. And sometimes I forget, I think living in San Francisco that I'm like, everyone's just so open to everything. And it's just a normal thing, you know? And just there's been a lot of things coming up lately. And like, I'm just warped. Like, people talk about drugs. Like, I have a problem with drugs. I'm like, you do. Like, just even someone, like, smoking pot. Like, they think it's all weird because I've lived in California for so friggin' long. So I think, like, I know, and I want to hear your story. But I think, God, it might have been an easier place to go through what you've had to struggle through. But then again,
different situations and, you know, obviously different districts too, you know?
Different districts. So tell me about yourself.
Yeah. Growing up in San Francisco is awesome. It's liberating to have a city where they are okay with nudists and okay with queers and okay with, you know, urban culture, you know? And so having that openness allowed me to feel, you know, okay to really explore my sexuality, explore my identity, and later on transitioning at 19. Although growing up in a Tenderloin, it's definitely very different. People would assume like, oh, you're in San Francisco. It's so welcoming, but like some parts.
I get it. So that's our difference. I was like in North Beach.
Oh, North Beach is awesome. I'm... Yeah. But obviously very conservative out there, too.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. No, it is more conservative. But then, that was just my lead-in. I know that it wasn't easy, right? The Tenderloin, so how did your family, when did you first know that when you didn't quite feel like you were?
So I was, I came out queer when I was like 13. I was very ambiguous. I defaulted myself as gay back then because I'd always been attracted to men, but I didn't really understand or grasp onto what gender identity is. And it's until later on in life, until 19, where I met another transsexual who kind of guided me and became the mother to me and helped me evolve and become who I am today. And because I come from a background of Chinese culture and we don't talk about sex, we don't talk about sexuality, we don't talk about gender identity, we just talk about be a doctor, be a lawyer, marry, have kids, buy your grandparents a house, and then retire, you know, and flaunt it. So that's Chinese culture. And so for me, I literally had to discover by myself and do a lot of due diligence and researching what is sexuality, what is gender identity, and kind of experimenting. And so 17, I kind of left home. I didn't really get along with my family because they have such a traditional way of life. And back then I was living with my mom and my stepdad, but my stepdad's Arab.
You did have an easy,
full-blown
right?
Muslim, right? You know, reads the Quran, everything. And my mom is traditional Chinese. You know, it's so weird how they met. But so having that kind of like rigidness in my family did not allow me to explore and express myself. So I ran away from home at 17.
Wow. Where'd you go?
I was homeless for a little while. And later on, I found a turn 18, and then I was able to qualify for transitional housing out there. So I was off the streets, and I was staying in the government housing for 2 years and kind of get my stuff together. And
that's when you kind of figured out and started exploring.
Yeah, I had that privilege to have those 2 years to myself to just really understand my identity and who I am, what I like, where I want to go. And I'm very thankful to have that situation happen to me to get to me where I am today.
Right. Because there wasn't a lot of role models back then at all.
There isn't. There was no Caitlyn Jenner.
No, exactly. Not, I mean, because I was just thinking about the, because I was looking, I'm like, oh, that was when I was doing this legislation, but now that would have affected you in the Tenderloin with your Chinese mother. Yeah. I get it. It's very, very different.
But thank God San Francisco has so many nonprofits, you know, so it gave me that privilege.
Right. So then what did you do? So you started to transition at 19?
Yes.
Okay, and then what was your first move from there?
So basically, I was working under a table at a strip club.
Which one?
I can't say. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe I can say. It's Divas.
Divas. Is that where I went with your friend on the date?
No, you went to the O'Farrell Brothers.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's like 2 blocks away.
Men's took
the
friend to be on a date. Poke. And that was our first date. It was fun. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute.
Kind of.
Oh, no, that's like the great.
That was actually fun.
She loved it.
You went to O'Farrell Theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, hey, she's got a sex talk show. She's going to like this.
Yeah, she's down.
Yeah. Feed me.
Break your virginity.
My favorite one was Little Darland.
What?
Little Darland.
Oh,
yeah.
I remember that. They have that.
So you did that. So that's when it started. And now you're 25.
Yes.
So that, baby, really, you haven't been on this track that long. And I've been so impressed that you Performer of the Year 2 years in a row, AVN.
AVN and XBiz.
XBiz, yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's nice to be able to just persevere and be able to just kind of get that validation, working hard and having those accomplishments. It helps a lot. And it just now kind of like gives me a level of like, okay, what's the next challenge, you know?
Right, right. So, okay, so I want to back up for a second because there's still, now there is like Caitlyn Jenner, there's a lot more awareness, but what, I think it still is very like confusing for people. Like, you know, it so is. What are the questions that you get asked?
It's more so people ask like, how does Caitlyn Jenner affect me? You know, it's a political question because it's like, okay, where do my, you know, standards or my bias against or with a Caitlyn Jenner? For me is, I think she is great in allowing more visibility about this transgender subject, but also, mind you, she did not struggle. You know, she came from money before she transitioned.
A lot of therapy.
And you have your family too. So I'm not going to judge. As long as you are able to showcase a level of community and kind of camaraderie with those who are trying to support a cause, awesome. But
But I just want the questions that you get asked.
That is a big issue with Caitlyn Jenner saying that, oh, she came from money.
Yeah.
Right. Well, she earned.
Well, she bought her face, too. You know, like, understanding, like, one of the biggest hardships kind of, like, that leads to really making you a real transgender person is, like, getting discriminated. You know? Like, and imagine, like, if Caitlyn Jenner did not have the surgeries, you know, I'm pretty sure she would get different reactions than she would now, you know?
I'm just saying, like, just for people within our own community to, like, denounce her or whatever is, I don't know. I think it's kind of ridiculous. Just
it is
because,
ridiculous.
You know, because if, I mean, if any one of the people in our community had the same opportunities that Caitlyn Jenner had, I'm a 1,000,000,000% sure they would take them.
Yeah.
You know, so just it just comes off as kind of like jealousy.
Right. Yeah. No, but I think you're saying, like it's great that it's made a statement. Yeah. I know what you're saying. Yeah. That like, why judge? Like, great. If people are going to learn what, transgender, if they try to understand what that means and a transgender woman, like, that's great for visibility.
But I totally agree she shouldn't be the overall representation of the community.
But I really meant Venus. Is it Venus or Venus Lux? Is it like Marianne? Like, do you have to do both?
People call me Venus too. Yeah.
Venus. But can I say Venus? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or is it like Venus? Yeah.
Okay. So, because he's like Menace. But I'm curious, like, the questions you get asked, because I think there is, like, are you attracted to, do you have sex with men? Women? I mean, no, I'm porn. You know, what's your, you know, how does it all work?
I'm single.
Single. Okay. Yeah, me too. We just talked about that.
It's not because I really choose to. It's just very complex. Like, I am pansexual. I'm, you know, leaning towards more sapio. I'm drawn by intellect more so because my job is so dictated by aesthetics that I covet what I don't have. So I covet privacy because I don't get that much privacy.
Right.
I covet intimacy because I don't get that. Everything's all rigid on camera. And I also covet those that are inspiring, those who are ambitious, because most of the time I don't even know my scene partner who I'm having sex with, you know?
Well, so that's important. Okay, so tell me about what kind of porn. I got your login to your site. I was looking stuff online. I'm like, no, I want to see what Venus puts out there on venuslux.com.
venuslux.com.
But talk about like the kind of porn. So you have sex with men, women, other
I love women, men, and I kind of, you know, everyone's kind of guiding me to like be more bisexual, and meaning, and that's also inclusive of transgender sexuality, transgender identity also into bisexuality.
You're about to go into that, but could you explain pansexual real quick?
Pansexual, basically no judgment of gender. So I could like a trans guy, I could like a trans girl, I could like a cisgender female, a cisgender male. That's kind of what.
And you're kind of open to everyone. So it's
open,
sort of, it's almost like, I used to say bisexuals had a great, but almost like everyone is available to you.
Nowadays,
but it's like a buffet.
It's a buffet, I don't discriminate by color, gender, age, nothing.
Right. But do you think that porn, because I was reading about, I said earlier you dated men mostly, but it wasn't until porn that you, was it that you had your first time that you were sexually with a woman, or the first time, it was just your first sex he was with a woman?
First sex experience with a woman.
It was on camera. Okay, can we talk about that for a moment?
I mean, it was my first scene ever, too.
And they're like, here's a vagina.
Yeah, here's
have
a vagina.
A good time.
That's how it looks like.
Yeah, I'm figure out how to use it.
I mean, this is what I've been trying to tell people for 10 years. Like, I mean, they still don't get it. So what did you do?
I was like, well, first off,
they're
I
a pain in the ass,
messed
right?
up and put in a wrong hole. Yeah. Like, oh, no, wrong hole.
Happens all the time.
I know. Yeah. I'm like, I did not know the vagina was so close to the asshole.
Right. Such biology. Sex education is so bad.
Yeah.
Well, so true.
It was with a very versed, experienced, just a regular female, cisgender female. And she also had her labia pierced. And she also had her baby 2 years ago. And she also has, you know, jeez. She has extra lips. I guess she has a larger labia.
Okay.
And so I'm like, oh my God, is that how vaginas look like? You know? And I'm like, okay, now I understand the concept of roast beef.
Right. Yeah. But now you've seen more, and they're all a little varied.
Yeah, and now they're varied, and
so many different types.
Were you attracted to it? But how did you? Because you hadn't been, so you had to perform. But were you? Did you have to fake attraction? Did you actually get into it?
I had to like watch porn on my phone just to keep it up, and then on top of it was a condom shoot. So I'm like, I had to like take multiple breaks just to be able to get hard enough to be able to penetrate her, and most of it is just kind of like act out the rest, you know, just fake it till you make it, you know, and. Yeah, it was just nerve-wracking because I'm like, there's positioning, there's lighting, there's angles, you know.
Did you feel like go down out of the first...
I feel like a dude. I'm like, oh my God, I have to manhandle her, you know?
Right.
Like, but this is so unfamiliar territory. Like, is it okay to, like, choke you? Is it not okay? Like, I don't know.
Don't they cover that? Is it, like, in the script? Now you will choke.
Yeah.
I mean, I know some stuff is
Kink.com is one of the best companies.
Oh, Kink.com. Yeah, I love Kink.com. Yeah. I love Peter. I mean,
they're open.
We had parties. Yeah, they're great. I mean, I hope they treated you well. I mean, I think they do.
I've yet to go to their parties on Saturdays. I need to go.
They're so fun.
I heard about it.
Yeah. Okay, we should go. Totally. Can we go? But so is it Kink.com? I got it. So you got discovered, right?
Yeah, I got discovered by Mickey Mwana, who was a performer and recruiter at Kink.com, and reached out to me because they now and then they go to Divas now and then, and he scouted me, and then from there I was like, oh my God, awesome, you know. Of course, I wasn't like, oh yeah, I'm totally gonna do it. I was nervous, but ended up getting to the point where, like, I needed to replace someone, so they weren't supposed to hire me specifically. They needed a fill in, and I was local, so they're like, hey, can you come in 2 days? And shoot this scene, and we'll pay this amount.
Like, did they give you anything ahead of time, or like a piece of like with the script, or just like, hey, did you know you're going to be with a woman?
Yes.
Okay,
but
they didn't show you her labia.
No, on top of that,
you should get a headshot or something.
Yeah, nothing. I didn't want to Google her either. Kind of want to keep it as a surprise, and I thought it was just almost like scripted. I thought it was all scripted,
right.
You know.
How'd
but
you know?
It was
right.
not. It was all improv. You know, they give you like a theme, like, hey, so the theme is she spies on you. You're in a shower. You know, you get, you know, kind of aroused by it, and then you initiate the sex part with her, and then go with it. I'm like, okay,
okay.
Sure.
So because you started taking hormones at 19.
Yes.
Okay. So and did that transition, but you still and you have breast implants.
Yes.
And you have your penis.
Yes.
Still. Okay.
I'm off hormones right now, though, more because the hormones affect. The functionality of your
right?
penis. Yeah.
So what do you do about that?
I'll say F it, and I am off hormones for the past 4 years, and I'm versatile, and I don't like to get hindered by my hormones, so I like to either top or bottom.
Okay.
And I like to flip a coin and just, I don't know. We'll see who tops who.
So you truly are then really now after that, you are tracked because you weren't that, but it can grow. You can kind of.
And it's just isolated upraising and that my culture being Chinese. So now that I kind of through porn, I was able to learn more about myself and explore. So here I am. I'm like just like this chameleon.
So if you're off hormones, I'm just curious how that affects you.
I'm more sane.
Right.
I'm less.
Welcome to our world, right?
I don't have that
feel like
moodiness. I have it now and then, but it's not like a long cycle for like 7 days. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I know what you mean. Or like longer than that. They say 7 days, but sometimes I feel like I spend like a quarter of my life PMSing, which you kind of do. It's like a week. Yeah. So that's like 1 week a month.
Yeah.
1 week. Yeah. So having, you know, I mean, that's suffering.
Yeah. I know.
Okay. So now you are, okay. So I wanted to, so now you've been doing, now you've won these awards in part. What do you think? What do you attribute to your success? Like, what makes the best transsexual porn star?
I think it's all about work ethic and just personality and really keeping a level of humility. in every job you take, you always want to maintain a level of respect and dignity. And even though as non-dignifying point can be, you know, you always want to maintain a level of humility, because everywhere you go, you know, you are leaving an impression. And I think that's how it's always been my philosophy and motto in life, is just be able to persevere and just make sure you stay optimistic and spread positivity. And from there, you know, things will come your way. And I think it's worked for me successfully. And also maintain a level of business acumen, you know, what's professional, what's not professional.
But what about with poor, so the scenes that you're doing now, yeah. I mean, you kind of, you're directing more of your own stuff, yeah, right? Or producing, I do. Writing. Okay. And so a lot of it is with, give me like your favorite one that you've shot lately.
Recently, I directed and performed in a scene with another transsexual, and it was the first real transsexual interaction.
Trans woman,
right, okay. Yeah, that actually really liked.
Like you were actually turned on for real?
Yeah.
You didn't have to watch porn on your phone in the bathroom? Okay.
Because most of the girls I usually encounter with trans girls are heterosexual, and so they want men, and they want a man to dominate them. And so for me, I've never been with another bisexual or pansexual, oh, transsexual woman.
See, this is where it gets confusing. Yeah. Like, I thought, because it's not the same for every, yeah, transsexual woman. They're not always wanting, yeah, a man.
Sexuality
or woman
is very,
exactly,
different from gender identity.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's what's really confusing people. Yeah. So
transsexual, and you're just confusing pansexual. Right, you're being, yeah.
Right, but what you're saying is that most trans women that you've been with,
yeah,
just want to be with men.
Yeah. And they're heterosexual. And then versus with this experience, mm-hmm, I was able to be with a pansexual or open to transsexual women, and it was a lesbian or trans lesbian scene.
Wow. See, okay.
And it was intense, and it got to a point where we get to have sex with each other, and she topped me, I topped her, and then it ended up I just doming the hell out of her and choking her and spitting on her. It was hot. It was aggressive but intimate and sensual at the same time. There was a lot of body caressing and,
wow,
and kissing and cuddling.
So is it, could this be a relationship?
Yeah.
A sexual?
No, the person actually is open to, is in a poly situation.
Okay.
So she's married to, okay, a cisgender female, but when it comes to intimate relations, they're open. So.
Okay. So that could still be like a,
yeah, I'm open to it, but I'm more of a primary person. I'm not a secondary.
Okay,
so
got it. No,
I don't know.
I,
you know too much about polyamory.
Yeah, I do. I do know about polyamory, but you have a primary partner.
Yeah,
and secondary.
I'm more of a primary. I cannot. I'm too much to handle.
Right. No, yeah. I know. I would need all the, yeah, the primariness. The primariness. The primary one is. But so now, tell me what you have learned about being with women after that, for like, what about pleasing women?
What have you learned? I don't know what your sexuality is, but can you relate? Whereas, like, with women, it's not
me neither. No, I don't know.
But with women, it's a different emotion, and it's a different high or a different climax, because you're with a person who kind of gives you empathy and understanding, not sympathy, but empathy, like understanding how it feels, how it hurts, or what position is awkward. And on top of that, you have a little bit more of a mutual understanding. So coming in, you're both kind of evolved and,
right,
and knowing what to expect, versus when you come to a very heterosexual situation, which I'm not against at all. It's just, it's almost like negative and positive trying to meet together,
right,
all the time, versus like a positive and a positive and a negative and a negative.
What about being with straight men? Does that...
It's awkward sometimes because I am such a control freak. Right? I run my own business. I'm a dom. I'm a transsexual. So it's just like double whammies, triple whammies on a heterosexual guy,
right,
who's like trying to explore sexuality with a transsexual woman. It gets to a point like, it's just too much of a handful, and I have no patience at all to guide them. So for me, it's always in a situation where I always get submissive men.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And it gets,
I got it.
Point.
And so that it kind of is.
Have
not...
you ever had that with submissive men?
I've had men who have wanted me. So no, I'm mostly
you're
with men. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I am dominant, but not in the bedroom.
Okay.
I'm more submissive in the bedroom. But I have had men. I mean, I have all the equipment at my house. I'm just cleaning
awesome
out my house. I am more submissive. I mean, I have been with women, but primarily I'm with men.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm not. I wouldn't even know how to. I don't know. But then
really?
I wonder. I would know.
Not
the thing is,
threesome?
I would know. Oh, I've had threesomes,
okay,
but oh no, yes, I've done all that. Check, check. Mm. But I'm not particularly dominant. I mean, I can, you know, be the aggressor,
yeah,
but I'm not like I've never been like been the dominant with a submissive.
Okay.
If a man's really wants, I've been with guys who like want that, and I've experimented, but it just doesn't, mm-hmm, really turn me on. That's why
so you'd rather get choked yourself.
What?
You'd rather get choked yourself.
Yeah, choke me. I don't want to choke. Right, exactly. Just choke me, spit on me, it's fine. But yeah, so that's interesting. But I'm also wondering if there's ever this, because you say it's difficult. I'm sure it is. You can't go to like unmatch.com, right?
Yeah, I mean, no. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dating is very difficult for me. More so, it's just like my demeanor and my business acumen and also my priorities. And on top of that, what is appropriate? Just because I am a porn star does not give you automatic, you know, invitation to ask me all the questions about porn, how my sex life is like, how do I date other guys? Right. You know, why don't you just treat me as a human and then ask me, hey, how's your day? What are you up to? Do you want to grab coffee? Versus like, oh my God, you're a porn star. What do you do? How does that work out? Do you fuck, you know, and get paid?
Exactly.
Like,
well, I think Emily gets the same thing.
I do too. No, yeah. All the time. They like totally make assumptions. Like he was like, oh, all these guys on Instagram want to date you. I'm like, oh, great. Are they like, you're hot? Let's bone. I mean, like, are you qualifying these people? You know, I get it. But so my first name is like sex, you know.
It's a different persona, too.
Absolutely. You know? But I'm talking about meeting because it's like you don't, people would not automatically assume that you're a trans woman.
Yeah.
So what happens with, like, when do you bring that up?
Oh, off the bat.
Like right, you're like, hey, P.S., what do you say? Like,
I'm like, hey, I'm trans, and if you don't understand a trans, it means I have a penis, and if you don't want to learn more, Google.
Right, exactly, exactly.
I don't have time to explain everything, because I, as a transsexual, I feel like I'm always, I don't know why, but I always keep finding myself educating people all the time.
Yeah.
Like, what is trans? What is
that's what
I'm sure that could be
what's
just
transsexual.
That's your every single day of your life
every
that's what you're talking
day.
About.
And it's, I don't mind the ignorance, you know, I don't mind educating as much. Just like sometimes I just want it in moderation, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
How many times you want to like, oh yeah, I run this podcast and
I
do this
all
the time.
I know, because it's such a thing. I'll go to parties and be like, don't, like, I just say I'm a producer. Like I don't want to talk about what I do because it's such a thing. The whole room, like the dentist next to me does not want to talk about being
but
a dentist.
But sometimes it doesn't make it easier when you're having a deep conversation that someone knows your background already.
Yeah.
You know what
it
I mean?
It does. Yeah, that's what you want. But like get a yes, it
you
does.
You want to explain the whole story. Like, so I did this podcast for this long, how many years?
I was out with a guy and he's like, tell me. I'm like, can you just Google it and then we'll talk on our next date. I was out with a guy recently. It was a one date wonder.
Yeah, it's funny because I talked to my buddy who is gay and I asked him, I'm like, is there not one day of your life that you don't have to have a discussion about how you're gay?
Oh, that's a good question. Does he?
Yeah.
To a girl?
No, everything. But then on the other hand, I do have another... my boss, he's gay and he loves talking about being gay. Like everything is all about somehow he turns it around about how he's gay in like every conversation. Like the sky is blue. Oh yeah, by the way,
you know, by the way, I'm gay.
Yeah, but it's funny because so like I also do a morning radio show and so these topics come up and it's funny though because like when we try to have these since we've done this podcast, you've said I am trans, right? But then we try to have conversations about that comes up in the news. Mm-hmm. And then there's some people will text in and freak out like, no, that's not the label that I use.
Yeah,
I use
know.
Blah,
people
blah.
Get upset,
yeah.
right?
Like, why? There's so many people freak out about different, like, don't call me trans.
No, I've done that too.
I'm fourth level, blah, blah, blah. You know? Like, what? What? What is going on? Like, how can we have a conversation about this without offending people in some way?
There's no uniformity.
So people get so political about it. And I understand that, but also people just want to understand.
Crazy PC. Yeah, we're just trying to have a conversation.
Like I said transgendered once on the show because in the 90s, that's what I worked on and that's what it was called. That was like the political thing. And then we're like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. Like, I understand it. I'm not like insulting you. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I said that. You know,
I think it's because transgender is just so big. It's almost
it
like
is,
LGBTQ.
But this, I get it. It's like LGBTQ. Remember when it was when it became LGBT?
And it became QIA.
It was a QIA. And it was a whole thing. And it was like a huge deal. I'm like, guys, I'm with you.
What?
I'm with you. It changed. I didn't know. I didn't get the memo.
Look, I'm trying to support you when it comes to like North Carolina and all the stuff that's going on. But then you're like crazy blowing me up saying that I'm insane.
I know.
Like, that's such a dysphoria with the community. It's just like there's like, so much classism.
I know.
You know, like for some people, like, oh, don't call me transgender. I'm transsexual.
Right.
And, you know, transsexual means actually you have the surgery and the augmentation versus transgender. You're just identifying it, you know, versus actually going through the whole entire process.
I'm like, okay, if you identify as a woman, can I just call you a woman?
Yeah.
Right. Why do
what
I need
the bathroom debate? Like someone's going to say, you're a woman, but not where you got a penis. You can't go in the bathroom. Who cares?
Yeah. ours.
We just focus our time on other things.
The goal is to just go pee. It is not you know, trying to get raped or molest someone.
As we were talking right now, I got an update about that. On the way here.
About the bathrooms?
About the bathrooms.
Is it going to change?
Constitutional. It was a Associated Press update as I was driving here.
What'd they say?
It's non-constitutional. Like, they can't.
Yeah. It's discriminative.
Yeah.
It's absolutely very discriminative.
So I have so many questions for you, but
hit me.
Maybe. But I want to know how it has changed since we're talking about there is so much more awareness now of these issues. Like, how do you think that porn has changed for in your community?
I feel like transgender porn. Porn in probably in your generation, you know, it was like booming and it was evolving and so much money. You know, now coming in, it's been four years for me. So I came in 2012, you know, after the dot-com boom in 08, you know, everything just went downhill.
Right.
And so basically, you know, transgender pornography was also making a lot of money before 2008. And then after the dot-com boom, because our industry is so small already, it just became really smaller.
See, I think there's more of an interest now. I feel like there's more.
Well, and the production side got smaller.
Production side, right. That's why you started your own business, which is very smart.
The demand is there. It's just supplying. People don't know how to do it properly in regarding to humanizing transsexuals and also really categorizing the subgenres. Like, hey, there is a genre for transsexual women with transsexual women. Transsexual women with men, and then transsexual women with cisgender women, you know?
And you do all that, by the way, right?
Yes, I do all that.
Right, okay.
And then there's throw in the sexuality or the complexities of who's dom, who's sub, you know? And it's just so...
I'm exhausted.
It's exhausting.
Do you ever just want a missionary? You just like, can we just like have sex and turn on Netflix, make some popcorn?
It'd be so easy. And just cuddle afterwards.
I just want to cuddle sometimes, right? It is complicated.
If porn can sell like that, awesome, you know? Just sell, oh, we're going to cuddle and we're going to make millions of dollars just cuddling porn, you know what I mean?
Bad idea. Yeah. I'd be really good at it. I've got a good set of cuddles. Yeah. But who would you say is your main fan base?
My demographic is still predominantly men, more so. I've kind of capitalized on a niche that hasn't really expanded, which domination or just dom women. And because the hormones cause our libido to go down and also kind of prevents the penis from getting fully erect, that most girls, you know, end up conforming to becoming bottoms.
Right.
And it's just kind of the catch 22. Some girls, depending on their genetics, they can still function. Some can't. And so for me, that's why I kind of opted out to be able to be off hormones, because hormones doesn't dictate me as being transgender or not. It's just what I identify. So for me, I was like, I love the functionality of my penis and I just focus on that. And that's why I feel like that market has grown and I help grow that market and supplying, being a performer and supplying that content by shooting with women, men, but as a dom.
Right. Oh, right. So, that is a niche. Yeah, I totally see that.
And especially it becomes a kind of a platform that when it comes to transsexuals, we're like the next evolution of lesbian pornography and also pegging porn. So pegging was women with strap-ons, but then like if a guy doesn't want a toy and wants the real thing, they go to a transsexual.
Yeah.
You know, or if like,
They're like, pegging is the gateway.
Yeah, the gateway.
Bring on a transsexual, right? Menace?
I guess, yeah.
So you have...
Well, they brought it up. It's funny, pegging on Broad City. That's a great episode.
Mm-hmm.
People have Hulu to search Broad City.
Oh, no, it's everywhere. Peg. Like, it really is. More so. So
I feel like transsexuals are now becoming more universal, and it's almost like the medium platform to introducing it into fetish life or into something that's different. Like, nowadays, my fan base also comes from a lot of couples. So transsexuals, they...
Heterosexual couples.
Okay. Yeah. It's so odd. You know, I would never fathom having a fan base, you know, with couples. And they watch my porn together and they fantasize on having a transsexual threesome because a female isn't intimidated, female isn't intimidated by a transsexual. And then the guy doesn't feel too gay because it's a transsexual. It looks like a woman to have
a penis.
She's
kind of a woman, but there's a I can deal with his penis because she's a woman. Yeah, that is like brilliant. That makes so much sense.
Yeah, so it's evolving. But the thing is,
I get it. Yeah.
So, but the porn industry itself is still run by men. So they have this kind of narrow-minded mindset of like how porn should be made. And so that's why the genres don't really evolve. So that's why I kind of opted in to become a feminist producer, director, and just advocating for subgenres and different sexualities and different niches and fetishes. And that's why I came up with a new website I'm launching next month called TS Fetishes. TSFetishes.com. Taking away the fetishization of transsexuals and just putting it into niches underneath the transsexual category, which is, you know, smoking, foot worship, domination, bondage, you know, these tinier facets that are fetishes that are just tied in with transsexual.
Wow. Do you have a fetish?
I love body hair with men. With women, I like... I don't know with women yet. I'm still exploring with women.
Still exploring with women, right? It takes like a lifetime
almost. I'm very picky because I like brunettes. I like natural tits, natural ass, minimal tattoos. And, you know, it's something that's nice and clean and puffy and no pubes, you know?
Right, like, no pubes. What is the trend with pubic hair? People always ask me that. Yeah, like, I know that, like, I got a memo.
Bush is back. I'm like, no, it's
no,
the bush
no,
is
no,
never
no.
coming back. Yeah, no.
But
it, a small group of people trying to make it come back.
Is there just a landing strip or is it nothing?
A landing strip is fine.
It's almost easier just to take it all off.
Yeah, yeah. So, guys, I don't mind it because my sexuality, you know, I like masculinity and femininity. So with a man, I want to feel a man. And when I'm with a woman, I want to feel a woman.
Right. So, but you can kind of do it all. So do you think you could see yourself in a traditional relationship or just...
I'm open to a mono situation, but down the line, I feel like a poly would be the best situation for me, but it's just so complex. I need to find someone who's evolved.
Right. Yeah, see, it's hard to find evolved.
That's you got to educate that.
Oh, it's so hard. No, but you're right. I mean, that's what I've been... It's just sometimes I just rather hang out with Menace and stuff and you and Madison.
Yeah.
My family.
Yeah.
But what were you going to say?
No, I'm agreeing.
Other questions I have. I was curious, like, so I was reading about your early porn scenes. Now, when you're doing porn now... And now you're in trouble. Well, first of all, I'm very impressed that you become such a mogul in such a short time. Like, you won these two. You've been doing porn for 4 years. Mm-hmm. You've Venix Sucks Entertainment. I'm really impressed by your website that helps Trans Global, is that what it's called? That's really Trans Global Magazine?
Yes. I've taken a sabbatical from it. It's a little outdated right now.
But it was just impressive. It was like, how do you change your name? If it was like, you know, how do you wear makeup? It was like a very like interesting site. I thought lifestyle for trans women. And I thought that was such a great service.
I like it because there is no platform. There is no education regarding, there's nothing like that in our judicial system that, you know, makes it a requirement to learn about sexuality and gender identity and also what details entail it. And when it comes to college, it's an elective. So for me, I wanted to create this platform for those who are young, who are learning about transitioning and trying to understand what it takes to be actually transition. So I kind of created this as a hub. And it was more of a test and seeing how the public will perceive it and how my fan base will perceive it. And so I took a sabbatical, and now this year's goal is to transform Trans Global Magazine into more of a digestible guidebook that comes out quarterly, and I'll hopefully be able to pitch it out to like hospitals and schools.
Yeah, there's just the people don't understand. Yeah. It's more education.
You have social media. Nowadays, the millennials are all about Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook, Instagram, but how often would they encounter something that's educational regarding to transgender?
Well, I think it's great. I mean, obviously, because you had to learn on your own, I think it's great that you're also educating so many young people. But my other question for you was, so when you had your first scene, you weren't really attracted to women. I'm wondering now when you do porn, are you turned on?
I am turned on, but it's all about personality for me. If I connect with you, then anything can go. Like and what I need to connect on is intellectuality, how humble you are, how compassionate you are. You know, do you have your shit together or not? You know, if you're going to be doing a lot of drugs, I'm like, that's a little bit of a turn off. If you keep talking about your snake all the time, like that's not really.
Snake or like penis or like a real snake?
Like actual snake. Like, oh yeah, I breed snakes for a living. I'm like, okay, that solely applies. I'm trying to get a wood in here. You know, I'm like, that's huge turn on.
Right.
So I just need to connect intimately and like someone who likes to kiss, who's into it. And the thing is, I haven't had many good experiences sometimes with women who are kind of just fake it till they make it, you know, in a situation. They're open to the idea of transsexuals, but they're not really into it. I feel like sometimes it's just a paying job for them.
Right.
So I need to get less of that and more like real lesbians and really just interested in just you know, getting fucked by my strap-on that's attached.
Exactly. The attached strap-on won't fall off. It's not confusing. Yeah. Right.
It's very realistic.
It's going to be hard enough.
It has special effects to it.
Exactly. You can move it in the right direction.
It's crazy when... So I used to do a morning show in San Francisco called The Doghouse. And they're still on the air in San Francisco, so you can Google them. It's a great show. And then there was a morning show, and we would actually have a trans woman come in quite often, named Vanity.
Vanity.
And it was funny because then she would come out with us and party and
she's
stuff like that.
She's a firecracker.
Yeah, and but it's funny because all the straight guys, after a couple of drinks, they did not care. No, they knew.
But they didn't care. Wow.
They just did not care. Yeah. Like,
see, I'm wondering about that too.
Guys that claim that they're, I'm heterosexual, and blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
dude, they were making out with Vanity like after a couple of drinks. It was crazy. Vanity at the time, I don't know. I haven't seen her recently. At the time, you cannot tell that she used to be a man.
She still has a penis. So, she's still a transsexual. Or, no one would have fathomed, like, she used to be a man. And I still get that, too, now and then with guys. Mm-hmm. The thing is, I always get the curious guys, who want to learn more. The thing is, I feel like I always end up becoming a conduit to someone's fantasies.
Right.
And that's what I'm talking about. When it comes to the fetishization of transsexuals, it's like they have these fantasies. I want to get fucked by a transsexual, or
but you don't want to be that person. No, you can
no.
But you don't want to be that. You're like, no, I don't want to be that. Like,
I don't mind guiding you, but I don't want you approaching me in that manner. Yeah. Like, expecting that. I would like to get to know me first, and then I can maybe work with you and help you open those doors on my own prerogative.
Right.
But not just because
you're trying to live out something. Yeah. Right. I totally get it, man.
So that's why
it's similar, but not like with even like, I get it. When guys want to date me, they're like, what kind of toys do you have? What's going on at your house? Because I've always talked about it. I'm like, you're going to like be crazy in bed. And I'm like, or do they just want to sleep with me because of what I do? Yeah. Or is it because of,
This is why there's a term in what transsexual women use called tranny chasers.
Right.
They say guys who specifically love trannies, or that's a derogatory term. But
I can't say tranny. Yeah. I get really
only transsexuals can say that, I guess. But they call them tranny chasers, and basically are guys who are very attracted to transsexuals. And for me, actually, I love them. Because they're the people who understand me the most, who anticipate the most, and know what to expect. And they're not looking for a fantasy because they already fulfilled it.
So they've already been with other trans women. So it's not like you're the one teaching them. Right. Okay.
Exactly. So it makes it easier. But at the same time, I don't want to deal with the situations like, I don't want to come out about it. I'm like, you shouldn't have to come out. My penis is in my pants. Right. Like, I walk around naked, what is there to disclose? I'm a woman, and whatever happens in the bedroom does not dictate how we behave.
Exactly.
You know?
So most people don't assume that unless they know senior porn.
Believe me, there's many times I've messed around with a lot of male talent in the straight industry, and they just don't want to be out about it. It's a lot of people are curious about it, no doubt about it. As a matter, it's just that, a matter of time when people get willing to go public about it, and less stigmas, less discrimination.
I think you're doing the good work
in
here.
Time.
Another discussion. Sorry to go all the way back to.
I know, whatever.
I'm tired. I know you're probably extremely tired of talking about Caitlyn Jenner.
Uh-huh.
But there's one thing that was funny because my group of friends, and also Howard Stern brought it up recently. It's like, okay, like now the show is kind of boring because you keep on talking about all the issues. Like, trans women are actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
Like, show the fun parts, Like, now you're constantly just talking about issues. It's like, trans women can party and have fun. Like, can you show that part?
Yeah.
So it can be fun.
Trans girls can be like bros.
Yeah.
Because, mind you, we used to be dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking about bro problems. Like, hey, you need to jerk off. You need to jerk off.
Right,
I get
exactly.
it. You know? One of the benefits of being a transsexual woman is like, hey, you have your man needs. Address them. You need to go to a bar, drink with the dudes, go do it. Now, I'm not going to be like a clean girl, like, oh, what's going on? Of course, sometimes if I'm on hormones, there would be like the jealousy aspect, insecurities.
That's what it is. They're freaking hormones. Yeah.
Hormones.
Jealousy.
But the point I'm trying to make is like, we're discussing that now because of the podcast, trying to educate people too. But I think when you're when you do hang out with a trans woman, don't think that's going to consume your life. That's all you're going to talk about.
Right.
Each his own, too.
Just when you're on my show, what that person is.
Yeah. If they want to, like, either party a lot, they want to, you know, they love sex or whatever, you know, each his own. And I think it's just really just making sure coming in with an open mind and not assuming and not following the cliches of what stereotypical transsexuals are, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's good. Well, I'm going to segue into Masturbation Month.
Yeah.
Because it's May. And it's Masturbation Month. And I'm wondering about, so how often do you masturbate?
I masturbate about once a day.
Once a day?
Yes.
Okay. And do you watch porn? Are you over porn?
I do watch porn, but I watch amateur porn because I produce porn, you know? Right, like, I know how, oh, that's that angle, that leg is so inappropriate.
Right. You're like, I can't relax. Yeah. The lighting, there's no continuity in here.
Yeah, exactly. So amateur, it just kind of gets me off, but... And day, you know, when it comes to personal sex life, you know, I'm very picky. Like, I just cannot. If you're smaller than me, like, you're not fucking me. I'm sorry, but right. You know, but
oh, also, like, their penis is smaller
yeah.
than you.
Yeah. So wow, I just
right. Can't, you have a nice penis.
Oh, thanks.
You do? Really? No, I watched all your porn. No, really.
Emily, this is so flattering.
No, you should see. I was like texting Matt, like, wait, what's her? Because I didn't have your login to your site. They're like, we need your login. I got to see it all. I don't want to see what's online.
You're going to regret saying that. Right.
I'm not giving it back.
What's stopping
I'm like,
you
it's
now?
Temporary. But no, you do. But I could see that. But you don't know until you're in a room with someone to measure up.
Yeah. True
but that. I guess the gay community deals with this all the time.
Yeah, it's all about size queens, right?
Right.
I'm not really a size queen. It's just more someone who's about my size or bigger, if you want to top me. And if you bottom, I just want to make sure that you are prepared for it. You're not like, oh, you know, like you don't know how to use the enema.
Right.
Or like, you know, like.
Does that happen? I'm sure.
Yeah. Like guys are like, oh, yeah, just finger. I'm like, did you use the enema? I'm like, no, what is that? I'm like.
Do you keep them in your, house? Do you, like, go just to...
Yeah, I do. Usually I just do... I kind of structuralize everything. Like,
right, because you're really organized.
I'm really organized.
Anal, no pun intended.
Anal, OCDs. I'm a control freak.
Do you have, like, a handbook that you just hand on over or what?
You always want a checklist. Like, yeah. Did you shower? Did you this?
Yeah,
did
that, I have right. that. And so I masturbate most of the time because of the fact that I'm just so picky. I just can't hook up with a random person off the street. Mm. I like to have sex with industry people. Because I know they're tested, we're safe,
right.
We're having fun, and we can get kinky as possible and not feel regrets. You know,
like how kinky? What is kinky? Like
orgy? Like just like. Couple like a last month that they had an orgy. I'm like, oh, that was awesome.
Just
know?
Like at your house, like a fun orgy.
It was at
party.
A hotel, and it was after an award ceremony.
Expos or
no T awards, transgender okay. erotica.
Oh, fun! Awards. So you're all there.
Where are those held at?
Oh, I wasn't invited to those. I thought yeah, I got to the sex awards.
It's a smaller one.
I want to go next year.
Yeah, you should go. That's so fun. So many transsexuals.
Yeah, that is really. It seems like you're doing. I'm really impressed. You got your Venus-Lux.com, your production company, yes. Venus Lux Entertainment, and Venus Box.
Yes.
That's your latest.
Yeah, latest. Right? Yeah, just a little idea I have to be able to interact with my fans because it's just be able to entice my fans to want to explore something more kinkier and kind of create something like that. It was just an off kind of.
Okay. Because I thought you want to talk about it. I didn't know if you want to talk about it.
No,
okay, I forgot. Okay, I didn't know what else you wanted to
promote was definitely TS Fetishes.
Oh,
right
TSFetishes.com. TSF,
yes. So,
okay, got it.
Focusing on that and also this year's project because I've kind of plateaued. Toad. I have all my performative years.
I know. You what won next? 2 by 25. She's won, like, you're
yeah.
out.
Yeah. What next?
You ready
know?
To retire or what?
No. I'm working on that. So I'm working on my retirement plan. So
nice.
I'm planning on staying in it for another 4 years or so and get my Hall of Fame. But then this year, I'm focusing on more management. So I'll be this year managing more girls and taking them underneath my arms and be able to just guide them. The preliminaries and the processes, the politics, the aesthetics of the industry, and really have kind of like a guidebook of what it takes to be able to be successful in this industry.
Trans women,
mainly trans.
Because there really is no guidebook. I could see that getting, it's already a tough industry.
Yeah,
and I could see if you come in as a trans woman, even being taken advantage of
yeah.
more.
And it's small. And so because it's a man's world, and it's always the man with the most money and who dictates everything, that I want to advocate for feminism and for independent women to be able to take care of their own brands and kind of watch each other's back. Because I don't, sometimes it's politics that affect us and also some of them that demean us, you know, as transsexuals, we always get you know, backlash, you know, sometimes because people want to hook up with us but don't know how to approach it properly, and also what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, right, too. And so that's why I want to protect some of these girls in the future that, hey, just because this director is shooting you doesn't mean you have to go suck that person's dick. Right. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, that's always, yeah. Since the beginning of time, there's been the casting couch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now it's
still a lot of that. There's still a lot of that. And guys milk it, and I don't like that. It doesn't protect the girls.
No,
and
girls good for you. Yeah. I'm glad you have a house and you help women.
Yes. And I have a model house, and basically there are girls who are traveling on their way into LA to work, and basically they're just a temporary home for they can feel safe and not be touched by men or get involved with drugs or get involved into aspects that hinder their career. So that's what I'm more focused on this year, and I'll be branding it under a new company I'm launching, called Siren Network, and it'll be brand management and managing girls' sites and their careers in this industry and getting established and sustaining a level of expansion in the transsexual genre.
Cool. So,
you're doing really, I'm really impressed. Yeah,
so, and then also, the Trans Girl magazine will be converted into a nonprofit this year. So, it's in the works. Advocating for a workforce placement for transsexuals who want to get out of sex work and just be able to find happiness.
Right, because really, how do you find happiness? Because you went in this route and you see, like, you did it, but
what next?
Right, mm-hmm. You know, exactly. I get it. Do we have time for, do you want to do an email? Do you want to help? Want to answer an email?
Oh, wow. Awesome.
From our
sure.
listeners. That'd be awesome. Okay. Thank you for emailing us, feedback@sexwithemily.com. We love hearing from you. And we love when you include your name, where you live, how old you are, and how you
listen. So we can stalk you.
Yeah, exactly. Your address and your social security number.
It's interesting to find out like how they listen to the show, because there's so many different ways. There's sexwithemily.com, there's iTunes, there's Stitcher, there's Podcast One.
Right. There's a lot of different ways. We just want to know what you do. And also, as long as I'm here, I forgot. I was so excited at the beginning. I wanted to say, follow me on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat at Sex with Emily, facebook.com/sexwithemily.
It's all cohesive.
It's all at Sex with Emily. That's really easy. And okay, so hey, Emily, love the show. I'm writing in from Quebec, Canada. I'm 19 years old. I'm a fully passing male to female post-op trans girl, and I have feelings of sexual inadequacy due to my situation. I find that most people are not friendly to the thought of dating people like me. How do you suggest I approach my insecurity, Nicholas? I just thought, I mean, we've talked a lot about this, but I was thinking that maybe you could ask.
So she's a post-op transsexual who's 19 years old. Yeah, I feel like that's one of the new raves nowadays.
Would it explain this to me? Right? Male to female post-op, so had the operation, yes. No penis, right?
And because I don't know how it's like in Quebec, but obviously now, you know, government covers SRS or sex reassignment surgery or
in the United States.
In the United States, yes. And so dating is very tough. A couple of my friends actually just got their post-op surgeries too, and they assumed that life would change, assuming that people would perceive them differently because of their genitalia. I told them, like, your genitalia does not dictate who you are. You are still female with or without your penis. You walk in the street wearing pants. You don't show your genitalia. Right. So, and then, yes, dating is different, you know. And I have some girls who lie, don't disclose that they weren't born a female. And I have some who are transparent about it. And at the end of the day, it's figuring out, finding someone who is going to accept you for who you are, for your personality, not by your genitalia.
Right.
And that is kind of your success for happiness. And associate with people who know and are positive and can be allies. And even, I feel like you need to be transparent about it, even though that it's a vagina now.
Right.
You know, you have to disclose that, hey, it's not a functional vagina. There's no uterus.
So, right. There's no uterus, but is there, sensations?
You can get, it's actually prone for infection. You have to understand that, like, if you were to do a cream pie, you actually have to manually clean it out because you cannot piss it out. Really, the track is different, you know.
You can't get right. Yes. Tricky.
Yeah,
it already is difficult.
A vagina actually, it kind of helps sterilize everything by itself.
Right.
You know, when it comes to self-cleaning, a wound,
right?
You have to take care on top of that. You can't get pregnant. So you don't want to deceive a guy and have fall in love and you can't have children, you know? So you always want to be transparent. So
to 19 years old.
19 years old. Just associate yourself with support groups and other, you know, community members that can advocate. And dating, just, you know, make sure you be as present as you are and just live your life, be happy, and always disclose that, you know, be honest.
I think that's really helpful. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Okay, I've got 5 questions for you. We ask every guest.
That's it. Just
these are
5.
Quick, though. These are rapid
fire. And then 10 more after.
Then 20 after that.
Just 5.
One question. Okay. Quick. Just whatever comes to mind. What's your biggest turn on?
Biggest turn on? The brain.
Biggest turn off?
Smells. Bad smells. Odor, BO.
Craziest place you've gotten busy?
Oh, that's so hard.
Because they're all crazy.
Yeah. A beach, movie theater, mom's bed.
Awesome. Sexiest word to you?
That's hard. Sexiest word, sensual.
What's the one thing you wish you could tell a future partner about your sexual needs?
Evolved.
Got it. Evolved. That's good. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
I appreciate it. You're awesome. How can so people can find you? It's still all the way on our website, but what's your biggest thing you want to?
Twitter and Instagram at Venus Lux and Facebook at The Real Venus Lux or TS Venus Lux, either or one of those. And check out my website, venus-lux.com. And
yeah, it's hot.
Yes. Stay tuned to my Twitter and for updates in regards to launching my new website, tsfetishes.com, next week. And also be prepared for a new company that would
my
be
God, how do you have time to have sex and do all this stuff?
I know.
Porn and the companies and wow.
Like they'd be a busy bee.
So they thought they'll find out all this about you. Well, congratulations on your success.
Now I'm going to stalk
and
you
thank
now.
You for, you're what?
I'm going to stalk you now.
You totally stalk me. You didn't stalk me yet.
You're like,
no,
a, we'll you're like an other. Awesome creeper, but it's like you're positive, you're educated, you're fun.
Thanks. Yeah. I try to have a good time.
And you're pretty too.
Oh, yeah. Oh that's like I didn't think she'd be pretty. But, thank you.
Pleasure.
Some ooh. More about me. No. Yeah. Okay, we're going to wrap. Thank you so much, Venus Lux.
Yeah, thank you,
Menace.
You for coming
thank
in.
You.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Madison. And thank you, Lori. And thank you, Jamie. And my whole amazing team. Yeah. Love you all. Thanks.
Oh, could I say one thing? It was so... Okay, fine.
Of course you can.
No, there was... it was so awesome. The last podcast that I was on, I mentioned it was my dog's birthday, Chiro, right? And I said, follow my dog, Chiro. And I go, it would be a fun experiment to see how many people listen all the way to the end of the podcast to say, hey, follow my dog
that's
on
right.
Instagram, right? So many people commented on her Instagram page and said, I've listened to the end of the show. So
that's
that was
amazing.
Great.
So
thank
you,
everybody.
So people are still listening. So should we talk about something really important right now?
Well, they're still listening. Yeah, yeah.
No, I love that. And happy birthday to Chiro.
Yeah, my baby. She had so much fun.
She
we got her a cake.
Aww.
There's a dog bakery. And
I
can
know.
Buy
I don't.
Cake.
I can't even believe
it's
you've
crazy.
Become. I meant to bring
now.
Her something.
Yeah.
I brought her cake, Chiro. But I ate it because it was a people cake.
That's cool.
Okay, everyone. Thank you, Menace. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. So, when was the last time an app changed your sex life? And no, I'm not talking about Tinder. I'm talking about my app, Kegel Camp. It will increase your control, improve your sexual performance, and help you experience incredibly intense orgasms. Plus, if you've had a baby, Kegel Camp is the answer to getting your, you know, vagina back in shape. You know what I'm talking about, ladies. After years of telling you about the importance of Kegel exercises, it occurred to me, I need a better way to help you do them properly. And after a lot of development and some intense Kegel workouts, Kegel Camp was born. Kegel Camp is fun and easy to use and is, of course, incredibly effective. It provides simple step-by-step prompts that lead you through 20 levels of progressively intense workouts. The app tracks your progress, rewarding you with satisfaction of each new achievement and with Kegels of steel. And guys, don't think you're exempt from needing a good Kegel workout. Strong pelvic floor muscles are just as important for men as they are for women. Regular Kegel Camp workouts can help you last longer, give you stronger erections, and more powerful orgasms. I hear from Kegel Campers every day. They send me screenshots when they reach the next level, and many of them have reached level 20. I'm not even at level 20. Download Kegel Camp today from the iTunes App Store or by clicking on the Kegel Camp banner on sexwithemily.com today. I'll see you at camp.